Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and give thanks to God, because God's steadfast love does endure forever. Welcome to worship this morning, everybody. Will you pray with me? Creator God, God beyond us, we worship you. The universe speaks of you. We can never grasp you, but you grasp us and hold us in your love. Redeemer God, God beside us, we worship you. You are perfect humanity, showing us what human life might be, guide our model. God, who is Spirit, Spirit God, God around us, we worship you. You empower us, the people you made us to be. God, who is Creator and Redeemer and beside us, God around us. We come together here now as your people to worship you. Amen. Shall we now stand and sing, if you are able, From All Who Dwell Below the Sky. Shall we pray? Jesus, you know our name and you call us by name. You call us to be your faithful disciple. You call us to follow you. Not only do you know our names, O God, but you know our hearts. And so we come now to confess our sins with open, contrite hearts. Will you take a moment of silence to sit with God, to listen to what God says to you this morning as you bring these prayers of confession? Wash us with your Spirit, transforming God. Forgive us the sins of the past
and transform our thinking and our speaking and our doing from this moment on in life-giving ways. For Jesus' sake and in his name. Amen. God knows all that we have done and all that we have not done. And in Jesus Christ, God takes our confession together with our past faults and our failures, our guilt and our shame, and moulds our good intentions into a new beginning, starting here, starting now. The great good news is that in Christ Jesus, our sins are forgiven and we can start over again. Thanks be to God. And we're going to keep saying thank you as we sing, "Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart." Once more, we remember that because Christ has come, the peace of God is here to stay. The peace of the Lord be with each and every one of you. Let's just share that message very briefly with each other. And Von's now going to come and read a passage from God's Word for us. Do you need me?
Our reading this morning is from Matthew 23:1-12. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the places of honour at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all students. And call no one your father on earth, for you have one father, the one in heaven. nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. In this we hear the word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. And can we have a picture of Aung San Suu Kyi? There we go. During the 16 years, this is Aung San Suu Kyi. During the 15 years she was under house arrest by the military-led government in Myanmar, she was acclaimed globally as a political activist. Throughout those years, she consistently spoke and taught about freedom and justice, peace and democracy. While she was in detention, she was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. She was a recipient of the United States Congressional Gold Medal. She received many other honours. In 2010, she was freed. And in 2015, her party won in a landslide election. And so from 2016 to 2021, she was the first state councillor, that's sort of like a de facto prime minister, of Myanmar. And then in February 2021, there was a military coup in Myanmar. And Aung San Suu Kyi was arrested. And she has been in detention until just now. She's out of prison and under house arrest, but still detained. So that's one side of the story. In Myanmar, since 1982, Rohingya Muslims have not been allowed to work or to travel, are refused the right of citizenship of their country, and since 2012 have been driven from their homes in Rakhine and endured systematic violence, murder and torture. Their situation was so dire that from August 2020, 600,000 of the 1 million Rohingya population has fled in desperation to Bangladesh. That's more than half. So now, world community levelled massive criticism because when her party came to power, she failed to respond to this crisis, this refugee crisis. She was condemned globally because she failed to speak up for the Rohingya Muslims or to act to save them. Indeed, she is doubly condemned because her past words about democracy, freedom and justice did not match her actions. Would you agree with that as you listen to that story? Chalk and cheese, isn't it? Today's reading from Matthew's Gospel begins with a tirade from Jesus. A tirade against the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus comprehensively condemns them because, like Suu Kyi, their words don't match their actions. And Jesus condemns them because they have increased and increased and increased the demands of the law until it became an unbearable burden for the common people. Yet, the scribes and the Pharisees do not bear these burdens themselves, and neither do they help to carry the burdens of those who are bowed down under these heavy loads. Jesus condemns them because they make a show of their religious status, their importance, by wearing, and we've got some pictures here, ostentatious phylacteries. And we talked about them last week, didn't we? Little leather boxes that were worn around the head and the arm. So if they were big, everyone knew that you were a praying, important person, a scribe or a Pharisee. And they had inside them the Shema, the God's word to the people saying, you shall love the Lord your God with your heart and soul and mind. They wore long tassels, tzitzis on their prayer shawls, talits, and we've got a picture of that. Those tassels were a symbol of their bondage to the law. So if you wore a really long tassel on your shawl, that was saying that you were absolutely and totally bound to the law. You were absolutely committed to every part of the law and to obeying it. Jesus condemns them because they claim privileges and titles, like rabbi, because they see themselves as important people. Remember in the reading from Matthew's Gospel last week, Jesus said that there are two things that really matter. Two things that are at the heart of the Gospel. I'm pretty sure you could say these with me, and you can if you would like to. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. You all knew that, didn't you? You're just not going to join me in saying it, okay? And what's the other one? You shall love your neighbour as yourself, yes. This passage that we just hears on from there. And this is what Jesus says to his disciples and to the crowd who are listening to him. When the Pharisees recite the Shema, love the Lord your God, and talk about absolute obedience to God, when they talk about loving God with your heart and soul and mind, take notes of that. Take it to heart. Yes, do that. Because they know what they are talking about. That is what God requires of us. But they don't act on what they say. They do what they do to impress others, to make themselves seem important. So if they're seen, they make sure that if there are any particular religious observances, they are seen to do that because that's saying, look at me, how important am I? Look at the long tassels on my shawl. I'm quite clearly somebody who obeys every bit of the law. They do that, they don't act on what they say. What they do to impress others, to make themselves seem important, to feed their own ego, not because they love God with heart and soul and mind. So, do what they do, but do what they say. Let me start this again because this is a really important point and I don't want to mess it up. Do what they say, but do not do what they do. I'm going to say that again because I don't want you to be as confused as I initially was. Do what they say, but do not do
what they do. When they talk about compassion to others, take notice of that, they know what they're talking about. But they lay heavy burdens on others and then stand back and do not lift a finger to help them. Don't be like that. Do what they say. Don't do what they do. Their words do not match their actions. Their lives do not show that they take seriously the very law which they endlessly debate. They sound as if they know what really matters. They know the law they teach, know it backwards and forwards. The issue is that they do not live out what they teach. You know, the writer of Matthew's Gospel in that passage, in those first seven verses of that passage, is inviting us to join with Jesus in judging the scribes and the Pharisees. When he says that, when Jesus says those words as recorded for us in Matthew's Gospel, the writer of Matthew's Gospel put that there for us to say, yeah, that's absolutely right. We agree with that. He urges us to agree that what they do is wrong. As teachers of the law, their words and actions should match, shouldn't they? But then the gospel writer does a very sneaky thing, because in the very next verse, Jesus stops speaking about the scribes and Pharisees and begins to speak directly to the reader, the Christian reader of the faith community, and the 21st century Christian readers that you and me hear this morning. Suddenly, it's personal. Jesus is speaking to us, and we can't any longer remain detached and pass judgment on others. And at that point, we realise that the point of the passage is not the behaviour of the scribes and the Pharisees. Their behaviour is an illustration that Jesus and the gospel writer are using just as a little bit earlier. Sue Key was the illustration that I used at the beginning of this sermon. Instead of being aimed at the scribes and Pharisees, this passage is aimed directly at Jesus' listeners that day and as the readers of Matthew's Gospel, that's us. So I guess the question now is then let's have a look and see, what is it saying to us? What is it saying to you and me this morning? It's still pointing you to love God and to love your neighbour. God wants us to live a gospel of love and compassion. But it's also saying, loud and clear, don't be like the hypocritical scribes and Pharisees. Give God the honour instead of trying to usurp it for yourself. Here's how Jesus explains it. Jesus says, God is Father, and we are all children of God. The Pharisees want to set themselves above others, to be honoured, to be respected, to claim the best for themselves. They sit on Moses' seat. They think they are too good and important to get their hands dirty for the sake of someone else's need. The narrative of the gospel calls all Christian readers, whether leaders or followers, to obediently do the will of God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind.
to put God first. And then after that, to treat all others, our neighbours, the way that Jesus defines neighbour, which includes even our enemies, with loving kindness. When your religious experience is focused on you and what is in it for you and is not focused on God and what God is calling you to be and do in response, then like the Pharisees, you miss the point. You have not understood that in God's economy, greatness is found in serving others, not in loving yourself, but in loving others as yourself. The Gospel writer makes it clear from the mouth of Jesus that Jesus is our model. Jesus is our teacher, not the scribes and Pharisees, but Jesus is our model, our teacher. And that's a very different model for us to follow than following the ways of the teachers of the law, the Pharisees. Jesus had compassion on those who came to him, not just some of them, not just those he discerned as being the good people, not just those who Jesus discerned would not sin into the future, but all people. Jesus' love and acceptance was for everyone. Jesus was not into laying burdens on people. Jesus was about lifting burdens from them. That's the attitude that Jesus modelled for us. So what does that mean for us? Well, it means putting God first every day. It means being compassionate as Jesus was compassionate. No, compassion means to suffer with. So being compassionate is identifying with others, all others, in such a way that we share their struggles and their pain. It means that we cannot stand at a safe distance and condemn people we don't like, or condemn the things that people do that we don't like, or disagree with, or the ones of whom we disapprove. Jesus says no. It means accepting and caring for people instead of looking down our noses at them, even if we don't approve of what they are doing. It means getting alongside people and helping to carry their burdens. It means living the gospel that Jesus taught and modelled for us, a gospel of love, of acceptance, of forgiveness. Just like the first disciples, we are called to a radical discipleship. As individuals and as a congregation, we are called to live the gospel that Jesus taught and lived. We are called, we are commanded to love and accept and forgive. And to stand with those who are not given the compassion that they deserve, to care for people in tough places, to be there for those, to meet their needs. So there's really only one question left to ask, isn't there? Will you do that? For Jesus' sake. Amen. As the offering is received, we will remain seated and sing, "Jesus' hands were kind hands." And then for the last verse, we'll stand as the offering is brought forward. "Jesus' hands were kind hands."
Thank you.
generous God, make us generous like you.
Take these, our offerings, and take us, and use both to spread your love in a love-starved world. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone, and morning. Welcome. Especially welcome to Margot's son, I think from Melbourne. It's quite a way to come to church. Oh. We're lucky. I'm glad it didn't rain the whole way. But lovely to see everyone, of course, but it's always nice to have a visitor, and a visitor we know. Now, the first thing on your notice sheet in the announcement section you'll see is some information about a short series of studies preparing for Christmas, some Advent studies, or discussions really. And there are sheets at the front door and at the side door. If you're interested in participating, please put your name down. There probably will be one after church each week for 4 weeks, and there'll be other times available. But if you put your name down, then the people who are going to, as a participant or as a leader, will organise times that suit a particular group. And it could be here or it could be in someone's home. It's very flexible. So that will be some material available, so that if you can't get to everyone or you're not here for some of the time, you'll still be able to pursue them at home and still follow along with the sermons each week, which are going to link to them. We're now starting on our special Christmas collections for the Women's Refuge and the Prison Ministry, as we do at this time of the year. So they have to be collected in the first couple of weeks of December. So it'd be good if we could start stretching those goodies there a little bit more in this next time, because then there's a little break over the Christmas period where it won't be possible to for them to collect anything. The prison ministry particularly is the extra one we are asking for at the moment, and I'm hoping we can have a separate section that can label it, to whether you want it to go to one or the other or something for both. They do need items geared towards children and teenagers, because they support so many families of prisoners, and also, of course, some children in that age group themselves. Thank you very much.
Diane is going to lead us in prayer for others.
Let us pray. Creator God, as we meet here this morning in this peaceful place, we are conscious that many people in our state and elsewhere have lost their homes and much that they value to raging bushfires. We ask your blessing on all those who risk their lives to contain the flames. And we give thanks for the rain, which has helped to ease the situation in many places. May there soon be an end to the destruction, so that the land may recover and rejoice in new growth. God of peace, our recent referendum has highlighted the plight of the Aboriginal people living in remote areas. May new ways be urgently sought to greatly improve their situation, and we pray that disappointments and differences which have arisen among our people generally can soon be resolved. At an international level, we pray that our relationship with China will be improved as a result of our Prime Minister's visit. Caring God, later this week we will pause to remember the service and sacrifice of all who have defended our country in time of war. But we are all too aware that terrible conflicts are now raging in Israel and Gaza and in Ukraine. We grieve with you for all those who have lost those they love We pray for strength for those who care for the wounded, and give thanks for the organisations which provide food, water and shelter for people who have lost everything. And we pray that world leaders may soon find a way to end these wars. Loving God, we ask your blessing now on the people of Nepal shattered by an earthquake, people in Italy coping with serious floods, and people in Mexico recovering from a hurricane. Closer to home, we pray for any who are anxious or lonely, the despairing, the fearful, those who are grieving, and those who are ill. And we quietly pray for those for whom we have a special care. May all know your caring presence. And let us take comfort in Jesus' words to his disciples. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. We offer these prayers in his name. Amen.
Amen.
This is the table of the Lord, and there is a place for you here. Here is bread, here is wine, waiting to be blessed and broken for you. So welcome to the feast. Come and taste God's love and grace. On that never-to-be-forgotten night in which one of his own betrayed him, Jesus knew that his hour had come. At supper with his friends, Jesus took the bread, he gave thanks and broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. When you eat this, remember me." And when supper was over, he took the cup. He blessed it and passed it amongst his disciples. And he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, the new relationship between you and God. A new beginning with God. Take and drink. And every time you do, remember me." And so we, all these years later, share this meal this morning. We remember Jesus, who lived and died for us. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks and praise to God. We praise and thank you, O God, for loving us from the very beginning of time, when you spoke the word that brought the world into being. In love, you made man and woman in your own image and filled them with the breath of life. You gave the world and all that is in it to us as a gift, and you trusted us to care for it. When your people failed to hear your voice and to follow your will, when they resisted your way, you sent your prophets to speak of the one who would come to show your love and grace, justice and truth. And so with the whole of creation, we praise you together with those before us and beside us. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God have always been with us, loving us. And when the time was right, you sent your child Jesus to share our lives, to show us your love, to be our saviour and our friend. When he was killed by those who were filled with violence,
You raised him with power from the dead and called everyone to put their faith in him. And in your grace, you reach out to us with forgiveness. You transform our being. You promise us new life forever. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and we thank you for this bread and cup, ordinary things by which you renew us in faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us now and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that we may live in you and you in us. Amen. Will you join me in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from a time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The body of Christ, the bread of life, God's gift to us. The lifeblood of Christ, given for us. When we break the bread, when we drink the cup, we are sharing in the life of Christ. These are God's gifts for us, God's own people. Christ is calling you to the table. So come and receive the bread and the wine. Just want to let you know that everything is gluten-free. All the bread is gluten-free. And that you will be served in your seat, so the communion stewards will come and serve you where you are. Would you hold the cup and the bread, and then we will all share together when everyone has been served. The body of Christ, the bread of life, given for you. Take and eat and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. The lifeblood of Christ poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink and be thankful. And all God's people said again, Amen. Amen. For the bread we have eaten, for the wine we have tasted, for the life we have received, we thank you, God. And now we go in the power of your Spirit to share that life with others. In the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. As you leave this table, go in peace, knowing that the God of peace goes with you. Will you now join me in singing Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Encouraging us to know what is in God's heart, to get in God's love and God's compassion and God's care. Listen to the words and you'll know what I mean. Let's stand and sing. Discipleship pathways, people coming to faith and growing in faith, so reaching outside our congregation and inside our congregation. And so this is one of the Church Council's responses to what the Presbytery has asked of us, an opportunity for us together to grow in faith. So please do support that. If you can lead a group, that would be wonderful. If you just want to be part of a group, that's just as wonderful. So please sign up for that. It would be lovely if everybody was able to be part of the group. We already have a group on Tuesday morning and they, I believe, are going to do the study. But and you could join that group, but there will be others, I do believe. God has gathered you here in worship. And now God sends you out in his name. So go into the world in the power of the Holy Spirit to be the body of Christ in the world, loving God and loving others in Christ's name. And may the blessing of God, who is Creator and Redeemer and Spirit, go with you and remain with you for all eternity. Amen. Amen.